Welcome to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you will enjoy this message and pray that God will speak to your heart and fill you with His Spirit. For more information about New Hope and to listen to more sermons, go to newhopemcpherson.com.
I know there are many people that are here today that are visiting from other churches because perhaps their church was closed this morning. If that's you, we want to welcome you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping the same God. Amen. I'm glad that you're here. In getting up this morning and fighting the ice to get here, friend, you've already invested a little more than you normally would to go ahead and come at this time and to come here today. I want to encourage you to get as much out of the service as you can. I want to encourage you to have faith this morning that God's going to move in your life and move in whatever areas you have that are troubling you or filling you with anxiety. I want to encourage you to open up God's Word here in a moment as we go to His Word and expect that God's going to speak to you. You've invested time and effort in coming, friend. You've come to meet with the Lord. Then my encouragement to you is meet with Him. Amen. Anyone here? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Will you join me? Our Father, we are reminded this morning that all of creation worships you. We're reminded this morning that everything is created by you. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray, Father, that anyone's hearts that have come here this morning that are sad or heavy, Father, that they would be comforted by the fact that you are still on the throne and that you're there and you're very present for them, Father. I pray you would shower them with your love this morning and that they would feel your arms wrapping around them. I pray, Father, that they would feel you today as their Father. I pray nothing would separate them from you or come between them and you, Lord. I pray that they would come to you and draw to you, Lord, even as their hearts may be heavy, Father. We as a congregation ask that you would help them and move in their life and answer those prayer needs, Lord. Father, we also want to remember the unborn today. We pray, Father, that this nation might turn back from the godless laws that have allowed abortion to take place at will and on demand. Father, I pray that you would raise the conscience of this nation to once again recognize fearfully and wonderfully made that we're different than plants and animals, that you've placed your image within human beings, Lord, and you knew us before we were born. I pray, Father, that you would help us at the very least as Christians to stand in prayer and pray for our nation that these laws might be turned back. Father, today as we think of life before birth, Father, we give you thanks for that. You're the creator, and fearfully and wonderfully you have created us. Lord, we ask you to move in our midst today. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be up on the altar, truly up on the altar, that there would be nothing between us and you, that we would fully expect your Holy Spirit to move in our heart and to speak to us and to speak to us from your word and to answer our prayers. I pray we would be here today in faith, expecting that though our eyes don't see you, you are present here. We worship you this morning, living God. We worship you, Creator. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence here. Even if we don't feel you, your presence is here. You never leave us or forsake us, and for that we're very grateful. Father, I pray that in an act of faith, Lord, this morning as we receive this offering, that this would be done not out of religious habit, but out of relationship with you. A recognition that all the things that you've blessed us with in our life come from you, and we want to give back to you. Receive this offering as from our heart. Receive our worship as from our heart, Father. Receive our time in your word as from our heart. Move in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke in the next few minutes. Prayer, it's not supposed to be complicated, and yet oftentimes we make it that way. It's oftentimes it has a feel for many Christians of being odd and peculiar even, as we're used to kind of trying to do things on our own, as we're used to trying to manage our lives on our own. Many people turn to prayer as a means of last resort, and yet that's not how God made prayer. Prayer should be simple. It should be conversation between us and the Lord, and yet so often is the case we wait until the very last moment in which we can't stand it anymore. We're white-knuckling some situation, and we finally reluctantly drop to our knees and cry out to God. I would ask you, is that the way prayer is supposed to be? Prayer is vital to the Christian faith. Prayer is vital to discipleship. If you're a Christian, you should be praying. If I'm a Christian, I should be praying. Prayer should be very much a part of our life. You and I should not be uncomfortable praying, and yet so many people are uncomfortable, even praying by themselves. What would I say? What would I begin to say? How do I pray? Am I praying right? What if I don't speak something right? Will God even hear me? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 as well as in Matthew chapter 6. I want to encourage you to mark both of those places as we're going to be in both of those accounts. Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shares the prayer, and here in Luke chapter 11, he shares it as well. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 11. When we began this series a couple of weeks ago, we bypassed the Lord's Prayer for just a moment in Luke 11 and went straight to the parable of the persistent friend. The friend that came to his friend at midnight, knocking on the door late at night, pounding on the door because he needed some things because a friend of his had come in. Many times people read that and they assume that that is speaking of God the Father being on the other side of the door, reluctant to give us what we're asking for. Friend, the point of that parable is not God the Father on the other side of the door. That's not what he's saying. The point is that you and I knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, ask and keep on asking. Persistence is part of prayer. We began there because so many Christians give up in the middle of prayer. I prayed twice and it didn't happen. I prayed three times and it didn't happen. Friend, keep praying. You're being changed in the midst of the situation as well. Not just the situation, but you are also being changed. When we come to God, we are coming to him dependent upon him. We are recognizing we are dependent upon him and we don't have all the answers. Persistence is a big part of prayer. And last week we looked at the very first word of Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. One word, one single word. And yet, friend, that word stands as gatekeeper to the whole rest of the prayer. Miss this, and you probably will find yourself in religion. Miss this, and you may find yourself building walls between you and the Lord because you're aware of your own unholiness. You're aware of your shortcomings and failings. And it is a very common thing, friend, for you and me to build walls between us and the Lord, to place something between us. Miss this one word, friend, and you've missed everything Jesus wants to teach us when he says, Father. Father. Pater in the Greek, P-A-T-E-R. In the Aramaic, it's Abba. God with us. God wanting to be with us. God our Father. God in relationship with us. And I shared with you last week, you and I, by the Lord's Prayer, as we read it, number one, we're supposed to pray, Jesus said, when you pray. Number two, we're supposed to pray on occasion together. And when you all pray, it means in the Greek. Many of you remember the Promise Keepers events that took place in stadiums, Texas Stadium being filled with 25,000 men, all lifting up their voices in prayer to God. That has to bring a smile to our Lord's face. Prayer is critical to the Christian life was the third thing I shared with you last week. Like a marriage that starts at the altar, imagine then going home to your spouse and for the rest of your lives never saying a word to one another, and except maybe once in a rare while. Many Christians claim relationship with God and yet never speak to him. How can we say that? And friend, the last thing I shared with you last week is it's important to maintain the proper connection. Just who is it that we are praying to? A cosmic grouch? A God who's reluctant to let you into his presence? A God whose arms are folded and stands there patting his foot, what do you want now? He's Abba. He's your daddy. That one word, friend, changes everything. And it stands at the head of the Lord's Prayer as gatekeeper. Don't miss it. By design, we're going to linger here one more Sunday. By design, we're going to look at Father one more Sunday, and then we'll move on to the rest. Luke chapter 11, if you want to follow along with me, we'll begin reading verses 1 through 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. May God bless the reading of his word. Sounds a little different than the Lord's Prayer that you're used to, doesn't it? You might look at Matthew chapter 6 because Jesus shared it there, as I mentioned a moment ago, from the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever shared something important more than once? If something's important to you, don't you repeat yourselves? Now, for those adults in here who have children, I'm not going to go to them, but I very much could go to the children and say, do your parents ever repeat themselves? Every kid in here would say yes. Finish the statement. If I've told you once, I've told you. Friend, we repeat things that are important. And Jesus shares this prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. He shares it again when the disciples come to him. They were probably expecting that he was going to give them some kind of model prayer like many rabbis would do. Here's a good prayer for this occasion. Here's a good prayer for this other occasion. Use this when you're in this jam. Use this prayer when you need this. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He gives them a prayer about relationship. He gives them a prayer that's completely surrounding relationship. And like so many times when Jesus teaches the disciples, wham, they come right up against Jesus and his teaching, and it's completely different than what they had been taught. God does not want us to toss him a bone from time to time, just give him a little bit of this and a little bit of that, friend. He wants our heart. He wants everything. He wants relationship with us, our Father who art in heaven. This in Luke is the ending point of three different things that are taught regarding discipleship that began back in chapter 10. Verse 25. It's both the Lord's Prayer as well as the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer, because we've called it that, that's him showing us a model for prayer. But it's also a disciples' prayer because, friend, it's teaching us dependency. You cannot read the Lord's Prayer without recognizing the dependency that we should have on God. Now, friend, I'm an American just like the rest of you. I'm used to being in a nation in which we worked hard. Our ancestors worked hard to build this nation. We're used to pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We're very independent, so are we not? We're used to doing things our well. If you want something done right, you do it yourself. Do it yourself is a big part of our culture. We love do-it-yourself projects. Perhaps as Americans, perhaps as 21st century Americans, more than any other generation, we struggle with the idea of dependency upon God. Because many people see that as a sign of weakness. That's not what the Lord's getting at here at all. Last week I had the opportunity to have a lunch with someone from our congregation, and we were discussing discipleship, and he made a statement. He just kind of spoke it, and it stood out to me. He said, the very beginning of discipleship is surrender. If we don't surrender, we will never grow. And friend, that's exactly the case when it comes to prayer. If we don't recognize our dependence upon God, friend, we're never going to grow. If we think we can do it all ourselves, then go do it all yourself, friend. But how many lessons do you and I need to recognize we are dependent on the Lord? How many times do we have to fall? How many times do we have to fail? How many times do we have to find ourselves in our prayer closet crying out to God, God, fix this situation. I can't do it on my own. Why are we so reluctant to go to God first? I ask you, friend, why don't we turn more quickly to him? Why don't we recognize our dependence upon him? I mean, honestly, are we stupid? I sometimes think I am. Dense. Don't get it right. Lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. Prayer is dependence upon God. And you can't come away from the Lord's Prayer without recognizing that dependence upon him. The Lord's Prayer is both a prayer to be prayed. That is the literal words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But it's also a model for prayer. You say, Pastor Jim, how do I know? Because in one gospel he says, when you pray, say. And in another gospel he says, pray then this way. The differences in the text that you read there in Luke and in Matthew give me an idea. This is a model for prayer. It's not meant to be simply reciting mindless words. One last thing and we'll move on. It's interesting to me that the disciples at this point in time say, Lord, teach us to pray. They've already started seeing themselves as a group by this point. They recognize themselves as a group of Jesus' followers. Luke chapter 11, The very first thing I want to point out to you today is this. When you and I think of the Lord, no doubt we think God Almighty, and that He is. No doubt we think how holy He is, and that He is. No doubt we think how great He is, and that He is. No doubt we think He's the Lord of the universe, and that He is. No doubt we think He's the Creator, and that He is. It's His otherness, it's His set-apartness that makes Him God. He is God and we are not. Can someone say amen? But friend, you don't start the Lord's Prayer with that. That's the second line we're going to get to next week. That's the second line of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be Your name. The first thing I want to point out to you is about Daddy God. He starts not with the holiness and the otherness and the greatness and the set apartness and the almightiness. He starts out with Father. Father. Before I call you holy, and you are holy, you're Daddy. Before I call you great and mighty, you're Abba. Before I recognize your holiness and set apartness, and Lord, you are holy and set apart. And my mind is tempted to say, why would you have anything to do with me? But your dad. And a very different picture comes to mind. Friend, I don't know what your relationship with your own earthly father was. For many of you in this room, it wasn't pleasant. In fact, to even speak of this for some of you in this room may make you squirm a little. That's not my intention. Your father may have abandoned you. Your father may have harmed you. Your father may have been distant, always busy. You had no relationship. It is a sad but true fact that we often get our image of our heavenly father from our earthly father. And friend, if that's you, my prayer for you is that you would recognize the perfect one when you see it. For all of the longing in your heart, for all of the stuff you didn't get, God presents another example. If your father was distant, God says, I'm right here, and I'm never going to leave you. If your father was unloving, what can separate us from the love of God? If your father was cruel and mean, God calls you His children. And so I ask you, friend, if those in this room that are listening to the sound of my voice had a bad example for a father, friend, number one, it's not going to do you any good to simply turn and always blame the previous generation. Be very careful in doing that, friend. Because when we simply spend all of our time blaming the previous generation for all of our ills, number one, we don't take personal responsibility many times for our life. And the months and the months and the months and the years and the years and the years just keep going by. And all we do is get older. And then eventually that parent may be in the grave and there's now no way to fix anything. And that parent's still bothering us from the grave, bothering us from the grave, bothering us from the grave. At some point in time, friend, you kind of got to break the strings with that. Easier said than done, Pastor. Yes, easier said than done. But God wants you free. And if they were a bad example to you, acknowledge it. I'm sorry, I mean it. You've been hurt, deeply hurt, wounded. Perhaps you walk through life with a bit of a limp. I mean it. This is not glibly spoken. I'm truly sorry. Be careful, though, about lingering too long there, for the way in which we judge the previous generation is often the same milieu that we find ourselves judged, and every single one of us in this room is imperfect. Some of you in this room had pretty good fathers. They weren't perfect by any means. And if I gave you a blank sheet of paper and a pen and said, can you tell me problems with your dad? You might be able to start rattling a few things off. Friend, none of us are perfect. I will tell you, when you have kids, young people, when you have kids, you'll find yourself regretting certain times in your parenting. I still remember a few occasions where I was too harsh on my kids. I regret it. I wish I could turn back time. Do you know I brought one of those issues up with my daughter not too long ago, and she didn't even remember any of it. I remember. I wasn't there for her at a moment in which she needed me. I remember once spanking my son for spilling his chocolate malt on the carpet. Doesn't sound like much to you all, maybe, but he didn't deserve it. I was upset and I was out of control for a moment. He doesn't remember it. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't remember it. Friends, some of you in this room had pretty good dads. Thank the Lord for that, because they gave you a good example of what a father can be. You've got a better launching point, if you will, than those that perhaps didn't have that. But imagine for a moment, those of you with good dads and good memories of dad, that you walk into the house. Do you walk into the house shaking and scared to death when you see him? All of a sudden in fright, you pull back? Or do you walk into the house and all of a sudden see your dad and go running toward him with arms open wide going, Daddy! Those with good dads know what I'm talking about. Daddy's home! Daddy is home! Daddy's home. Daddy, take me outside and help me ride my bike. Daddy, play this game with me. Dad, can you throw the ball to me? Dad, 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 dad. Dad's in here. You ever find yourself exhausted? You come home from work and all of a sudden the pulling starts. The most holy moment you have had in your day is right there. And I want to encourage you, friend, be very quick to set aside work dad and put on home dad, because your children will be with you for the rest of your life. Work passes away. Jobs come and go. Family is forever. The most important job you have, Dad, is right then and right there with those little ones. I know you're tired. I know you want to take a nap. I know you just want a little bit of peace and quiet. But invest in those little lives, and invest in those older kids' lives, and invest in those teenage lives, and invest in your adult kids' lives. You'll find they'll be there for you when you're old and gray. And they'll have a good picture of a dad. And you've helped set them up better for following after the Lord. I don't know what took me down that whole rabbit trail, friend. I'm sorry about that. But I want you to know that, number one, he's dad. He's going to be very approachable to you. My kids used to come here to the church and to the church I pastored in Tulsa, and they walk in like they own the place. You know what I'm talking about? Your kids may do that at your place of employment too. They walk in and they just walk right by the main desk. They just walk right in. Well, I'm his kid. I'm going to come in. How about at your work? If your kids come in, do they need to sit out in the main lobby and buzz you? Or can they just walk right in because they're your kid? That's kind of the way we're supposed to be with the Lord. From the Lord's Prayer, we see a boldness there. A boldness that you and I would not have except for Jesus Christ. We only get in because of Jesus Christ. We can only call him Father because of Jesus Christ. It is only because of the work on the cross and me recognizing my sinfulness and need of his blood. Please don't tune me out. You've heard this before. This is critical to understanding the Lord's Prayer. It is only because of our Lord that we get to get in. I could build a case that all human beings are children of God. But friend, that's not what he's getting at here. He's talking about the blood-bought people of God who have recognized Jesus as their Savior. We get in because of Jesus, Daddy. Daddy. No wrath. No wall of separation. Daddy. You look at your clothes and they're stained with blood. You look at your skin and it's stained with blood. And you look at your heart and it's stained with blood. That is our only invitation in. Because of Jesus. He called him Father.
because of Jesus, we call him Father as well. Your intimacy with God, friend, is not based upon feelings. You ever come to church and you didn't feel anything? Don't answer that, please. You'll make me very sad and I'll go home depressed. All right, don't say that. Let's just say a church. How about that? You ever go to a church and you didn't feel anything? Does that mean the Lord was not there? You ever pray and you don't hear anything back right then? Does that mean the Lord didn't hear? Friend, our intimacy with the Lord is not based on whether we feel close to him or not. We have intimacy with him because of Jesus Christ. He's our Father, and that never goes away. He's our Father, and that never leaves us. Prayer is also not supposed to be reserved for the last minute thing. There's a mischievous 12-year-old boy inside of me, and you know the cartoons where there's the button you're not supposed to push in the cartoon and it says, don't push this button? Does that not just make most of us in this room want to push the button even more? I have never pulled a fire alarm, and I never, ever would recommend ever doing it. It's a crime. You'll get in huge amounts of trouble. If anyone's hurt, it would be your fault. But you see these signs in case of emergency break glass, and they never get broken. And I should say, praise the Lord for that. They never get broken. But every so often I look at him and say, I wonder what happened, but I've never done it, so I don't want you to misunderstand your pastor. Am I the only? Tell me I'm not the only one that has ever thought that. This is what happens. You all sit silent, and then I go home going, I cannot believe I shared that. They hate me now as a pastor. I can't even believe I told them that. I should never have said that. You look at those things, you think, no one's ever broken the glass. I wonder, does it cut you if you break the glass? I mean, what happens if? But anyway, beside all that, prayer is not supposed to be like that, friend. In case of emergency, break glass, and yet how many of us drop to our knees only when we're in a place of last resort, we're in a box canyon and we can't get out of it. And one last thing I'll share with you just before we close. If you'll look at your Bibles and you'll look at the verses that are preceding chapter 11, I want to point this out to you. All of us are busy. And I don't know for a fact that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write and compile this exactly the way that it is, just so that we would link the story of Martha and Mary with the Lord's Prayer. But I find it very interesting that just before the Lord's Prayer, you have the story of Martha and Mary. One person sits at the feet of Jesus. Another person is busy in the kitchen. You say, isn't it important to get the kitchen stuff done? Yes, friend, but the Lord is in your living room. And that's the message of this story. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you, from her. When I speak of the Lord as our Father, when I tell you that he wants to spend time with us, when I tell you that there is no way to understand the Lord's Prayer without stopping and pausing, being shocked and stymied, if you will, by that very first word, when I tell you that you don't have to walk scared into the presence of the Lord, because of Jesus, you can come in boldly like a kid going to his father's place of employment. Respect, it's always there. You know what your father's capable of, and you also know if you step out of line what your dad would do to discipline you. But you're not afraid, because you know that this is your dad and he loves you. Friend, if you skip the very first word of the Lord's Prayer, the odds are very good that you will find yourself living in religion. Like a bricklayer building up a wall, you'll find many times walls coming between you and the Lord. If you miss that first word, if you miss that he's your Father, if you don't stop and linger there, let it arrest your attention, let it stop you in your tracks, there's a good chance you may find walls of separation coming between you and the Lord often, because you've jumped right to hallowed, holy, completely separate, and other be your name. And that's not me. And why would God let me into his presence? Why isn't he just done with me? Because, friend, he's your father, and that changes everything. Would you bow your head with me? What rolls off of our tongue so easily should stop us in our tracks, Lord, as we begin praying. Father, thank you for your presence here. Father, thank you for your patience in our life. Father, we come before you and we lift up needs from people in this congregation, health needs and situations in their life that they're stymied. Father, we know you're not pushing us out of your presence. We come in boldly, not because of our own self, but because of Jesus. We call you Father. Father, we lift those people up to you today and pray that you'd move in their life in a very mighty way. Father, there are some in this room that did not have a good picture of an earthly dad. Father, we pray that you would show them what a perfect father is. Father, there are people in this room who are so stuck in blaming the previous generation, it's been hard for them to move on with their life. Father, we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, that they'd be able to cut those chains once and for all, to truly be able to let go of it and not look back. It is what it is. It was what it was. And I pray, Lord, that they would be free to move into the future. Father, help them to move into the future, free of the encumbrances of the past. They may not have been given a good earthly example, but they know what their eyes see in your word, and they know what their heart feels. You'll never leave them. You'll never harm them. You're there for them always. You long for them to be in your presence. You're not distant from them. You're close to them. Your arms are open wide. Father, may we never read the model prayer that your son taught us to pray and just walk right over that word. Father, thank you for your presence here. Minister to these that are here, Lord. Our Father, we love you back. Like a small child with our arms open wide, we hug you right now too. I pray, Lord, for this congregation that they might know that love from you, that nothing ever would separate them from that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and strengthened in your faith through this sermon.